Folks, one of the biggest perks of a Walt Disney World vacation is park-specific merchandise. But when exclusive goodies are released in a limited window outside one of our Disney trips, are we destined to go without that special something that's going to bring the magic into our lives? Of course not. We've got friends like Tracy and Rob over at Wishes and Dreams Concierge Shopping. Wishes and Dreams is a husband and wife owned and operated business that will purchase and ship all those park-specific items directly to you, straight from the heart of Walt Disney World itself. We're talking everything from Pandora bracelets to popcorn buckets like the new TIE Fighter bucket over at Hollywood Studios, event-exclusive items like Not So Scary and Very Merry t-shirts and magic bands. They even put together themed grab bags filled with all kinds of park-specific items. Wishes and Dreams is a true concierge service that boasts 100% customer satisfaction. You'll sleep better knowing that all merchandise is purchased inside the four Disney parks and Disney Springs. Nothing comes from a retail outlet or a Disney store at a local mall, and it's all sent directly to your front door. So what are you waiting for? Hop over to wishesanddreamshopping.com and send them a private message. Responses are typically sent out within mere minutes. Bring a little of the Disney parks into your home today over at wishesanddreamshopping.com. What's more, mention Two Men and the Mouse or Mouselaneous Discussions and receive a free surprise with your purchase.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hey folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 96 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on January 26th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name's Kevin Kessler, and I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin Kessler.
Peter Mandel.
How are you?
It's the 25th, not the 26th. I misspoke.
Oh.
It releases on the 26th, so I probably could have left it alone and it would have been fine.
Well, yeah, why don't we pretend that it is the 26th?
I don't know. I like to be accurate. Like, what if like, tomorrow, like, something huge happens in Disney? Like, you know, like, Spaceship Earth is an actual spaceship and launches into space, and we're not talking about it. People are like, well, we recorded it on the 26th. What the heck is wrong with you guys?
I know. We'd have to lie and say record it really early.
Yeah. Unless, well, what if it happened at, like, midnight? Then we're, like, then we're completely out of luck.
You're right.
See, these are the things we think about, and this is why I try to cover our behinds. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones. Let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
What's going on?
Nothing, covered in snow.
You're covered in snow, and but you're soon to be here, so...
I know. I'm trying to think positively. My son is terrified that we are not going to be able to get out of Newark Airport.
I'm pretty sure that by Saturday, everything will be cleared
out. I'm pretty sure, too, but at the same time, I'm like, you know what? Let me not be the guy who's like, nah, we're going to be fine. And then Saturday we get there, and for some reason, so.
I'm fairly sure planes are already flying out of Newark Airport,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah, they are, but I'm cautiously optimistic that,
so,
you know.
Some, like, record snowfall over there. I mean, like, you know, I was reading along of everyone's, like, tales of woe, like, you know, Westfield Trader Joe's roof collapses.
Yeah, they're done, supposedly.
Yeah, no, that's a wash. That's like a just burn it down.
I know. Where's everyone going to get their wine?
The liquor store, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, not as cheap. But yeah, you know, I was watching along. It was cold here this past weekend, too. It's not like, you know, there was, you know how, like, we get, like, in Jersey, we get, like, severe thunderstorm warnings or flood warnings. Here in Florida, they get frost warnings. On my phone and on my TV, there were, like, frost warning imminent, like... Like, just like frost on your car. Like, that's...
I told you the story of when I got engaged, right?
Yeah.
All right, when we got engaged, it was, like, freezing there. It was the craziest thing ever.
Okay.
And when we went... So, this is the day before we got engaged, actually. when we came home, because we were so cold, we couldn't stay out there anymore. We went in the room, and of course, you turn on TV because you want to watch some awesome Disney like programming on the Disney, you know, TV.
Indeed.
And instead, we got the emergency broadcast, which I had never seen before. I'd seen tests for it, but not necessarily the emergency broadcast. And it was because, I guess, of frost. And everyone's like, you have to wrap your palm trees. Because I guess palm trees can't freeze.
Okay.
Or, like, they just die.
Oh, maybe that's why.
So, you know, wrapping your palm trees. So we're like, ooh, this is crazy. We go to bed. I get up the next morning, turn the TV on, scroll to the news. And there is helicopter footage of some woman, poor woman, who had wrapped her palm trees in blankets. And I guess lightning hit her palm trees.
Okay.
And they just lit up like torches.
Oh,
and I just
no.
felt awful for her doing the right thing to save her palms. And I mean, these things, there were two of them in the back, and they were just ablaze. It was crazy.
Well, I actually have a story for you. Nice story to tell you to start off the show, which is funny because so I posted this on the Facebook group. So the listeners know this and you don't. So this is like the first time you're hearing it. I actually called you right after it happened to tell you about it.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, I missed that because I was, you know, doing that thing with the shovels. What do they call it?
Oh, shoveling.
Shoveling. Yep.
Yeah. So I had called you to tell you about it. But then I realized it was actually probably a good thing that I didn't get you because I can now get your honest reaction on the air.
Okay.
So I went to Animal Kingdom, Disney's Animal Kingdom. We like to call it DAC here on the show, D-A-K. I went yesterday morning, and I got there right at opening, 9 a.m. It was freezing. It was about 30 degrees.
Okay.
So I was, you know, I was bundled up, and, you know, everybody was wearing, like, big winter coats. I was just kind of wearing this hoodie that I'm wearing right now. You know, got my little Joffrey's coffee on the way in to keep warm, and... did the safari, which we'll go into later in the show for the e-ticket, but the story happens when I stopped into Flights of Wonder.
Okay.
You know, we always talk about Flights of Wonder, and we're always like, yeah, yeah, never done that. And I was like, you know what? For this week's show, since we're comparing like SeaWorld and Animal Kingdom, I wanted to experience a trained animal show at Animal Kingdom, and the only one is really Flights of Wonder. So... I go into Flights of Wonder, and I find a seat. So I walk in, and I'm looking down the aisle, and there's a nice bench right on the aisle overlooking the stage. I'm like, oh, this is a pretty good spot. I'm going to definitely sit there. So I sit there watching the show. It's very comedic. It's very, like, audience-driven. So they pull these two girls up on the stage, and they have them sit in front of this, like, tree area. And they're like, they made sure they asked for volunteers who had cameras with them. They're like, okay, so you're going to be able to take a great picture here because we're going to send this owl. Our owl JJ is going to fly out to the back of the theater, and then he's going to fly back and land right above your heads, and you'll be able to get a great picture of him swooping in. And then he points to my section, and he goes, and all you guys here, you're going to have a great view of the owl, so get your cameras out, you know, videotape it, or, you know, like video it, or take pictures, whatever. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to video this owl. This is going to be pretty cool. Peter Mandel, I break my camera out, and I'm waiting, and I'm listening to them make their jokes about, like, you know, the one girl had mini ears on. They're like, oh, owls eat mice. And I'm like, okay, cool. All right, here we go.
And you were like, are these owls flying from Hogwarts?
Yeah, like, where's the owl already? So he goes, here's the owl. His name's JJ. So JJ the owl flies, and he's swooping, and he's flying right at me. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. The owl's, like, going to swoop, like, right above my head. Peter Mandel, this owl punched me in the face.
Okay, I like this part.
As he's flying past me with his wing, he just socks me in the face with his wing.
Okay.
And it's on video, because I was taping. So you just see the owl fly up, and you see the camera suddenly jerk violently, and all the people around me, like, laugh. I got hit in the head with an owl.
Now, are you going to sue Disney World because of this?
No.
Not because of the owl hitting you, but the people laughing.
Emotional distress? Oh, I could probably get a couple mil for that. No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
So, thoughts on that?
Well, what did they then do?
No, nobody did anything. The owl.
Wait.
The owl.
No one said anything?
No, the owl got to its perch, and then it flew back. And then when it flies back, you actually see me on camera go, aah! Like, and it gets close again because I don't want to get. It didn't hurt. It was just like an owl's wing, like, touched my face. It more creeped me out than anything else. I'm not a person that's afraid of birds. I don't love them.
Right.
I don't want to touch them. Like, I don't want them to touch me. But yeah, so I got socked in the face by an owl.
And no, none of the handlers said anything. Like, that guy got owl slapped.
Nope.
Nothing happened.
Oh, no, no. But because they probably didn't want to draw attention to it because I might sue them. So do you realize in the last, like, it feels like every time I break my camera out to video something. Last time I got burned by dry ice.
Right.
And this time I got punched in the face by an owl.
I'm sure this has nothing to do with you periscoping from the parks and Disney's displeasure with it.
You think Disney has displeasure with that?
No, no. I'm sure it's purely coincidental.
It wasn't. It wasn't Periscope.
Next one will be.
Yeah, it wasn't periscoped. It was just I was just taking a video.
I know. Just saying.
So, I don't know. I thought you were going to laugh. I thought you were going to be more entertained by this story.
Oh man, Kevin! Compared to the stories you've told me in our lives,
we can't tell those stories on the air.
No,
please.
I know. I mean, this is fairly taped, so I'm okay with you getting slapped by now. I think that's pretty awesome.
But, like, this is one of those things that only really happens to me. Like,
yeah, but
is there anyone else in your life that you feel like could walk into your store and be like, Pete, I got smacked in the face by an owl today, and you wouldn't even bat an eye?
No, I expect it from you, though.
Yeah, like, I feel like this is pretty par for the course as far as my life goes.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, no. Those, and by the way, folks, don't ask, because those stories that Pete knows can never be told on the air.
Yeah, no, that's not happening.
Yes. Okay, so...
Although, ironically, they are very pre Two Men and the Mouse. Like, this is how we would warm up, is by telling these crazy stories.
Yeah, well, we still kind of do. We revisit some of them. There was a whole Peter Mandel life before The Wife and Kids, too, that I know many stories about, but we can't go into that either.
That's true, also.
Okay, so you ready to pop into the show proper to get some news out of the way?
Yeah, I'd like news, so give me something, because I'm getting ready to go. So,
yep, the news this week brought to you all by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. All right, so moving in, we get some worldwide news here. The metal detectors that have been installed on Disney property. Operation of said metal detectors has finally been transferred over to Disney security.
Okay.
Up until now, it was run by the CSC security company. So they finally trained all the Disney security people to do it, and they are currently handling it. So no more CSC.
I thought you were going to say Disney just went and bought this company. So now they're all Disney people.
That also could happen. But no, the Disney... Disney Security is handling them now. I was actually selected to go through the metal detectors once.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, normally how'd that go? Well, normally I walk through now with no bag because it's faster. One day I brought my backpack and...
Where do you keep the K-tainer when you bring no bag?
I haven't been bringing it lately because I'm not buying... Because I'm on this crazy no added sugar diet, which is working wonderfully, but I've eaten no added sugar for 25 days. And
okay.
So because of that, I don't bring the K container anymore because, or the K-tainer, whatever we want to call it, because I'm not buying food in the parks because, I don't know if you know this about Disney, Peter Mandel, but everything there contains sugar.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Their guacamole, I think, has high fructose corn syrup in it.
Right.
So, yeah, so no real need for the K-tainer of recent. But yeah, they selected me to go through. I think, honestly, somebody told me that they're like, oh, you know why you got selected, right? I said, why? They go, because you were by yourself.
That makes sense.
And I was like, yeah, that does make sense. Okay, cool. And you know what? I was perfectly cool with it. I smiled. I said, thank you. I walked through, and that was that.
Do Disney pins set off the metal detector?
No. I was like, oh, you got need me to take my belt off? And I start taking my belt off. And they're like, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. I'm like, oh, all right.
Like, what if you wore, like, a vest with, like, Disney pins all over it?
I don't know. I don't think they would set it off. Because my belt didn't set it off. And my belt buckle is metal, so...
Did you have phone keys, or did you have to put them in a container?
I had to put them in a little dog bowl. Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, the... you know what? If I bring my... I'll bring my pin lanyard next time and try to get... And try to, you know, get selected again and see what happens. But that's a good question.
I'm gonna try and get selected again. I'll go in there and look like, hey, they better x-ray this guy.
Yeah. So, yeah, no Disney Springs news this week, but construction does continue to lurch along. resort news. This is actually some beach club news. They're going to be having afternoon tea in the beach club coming soon.
Okay.
It's going to be February 11th through 14th, March 24th to 29th, and September 1st through 5th. It's going to take place in the Crescent Solarium. It will be classic afternoon tea, including savories, sweets, and alcoholic beverages. And reservations can be made online or by going to 407-WDW-DINE or by calling your travel agent, like Dave Weichert of Magical Travel, who handles all your Disney vacation needs at no additional cost to you. Water park news, Blizzard Beach has not seen an opening in quite some time because it has been cold here.
Right. You're so packing, even if it was open, nobody would go.
Are you packing some sweaters? Like, you better, like, be prepared here.
Well.
It's been, like, a good week and a half that it's been, like, 50s.
I know, but if you look at the days I'm there, it's supposed to be 82 of those days.
Okay. So are you packing for all, like. Because, like, when I went to DAC yesterday in the morning, it was 34 degrees with the wind. It felt like 24. Or like 25 or something like that, 28.
Right. There's none of that on our forecast. It looks like it doesn't even get 40s. Like 50 is like the lowest.
I would still pack a pair of long pants. And
I'll never wear pants. That's crazy talk.
That's true.
50 and you got to wear pants. That's insane. I'll wear shorts. I'll be fine.
Okay.
I imagine we're all gonna bring a hoodie.
Yeah. It's cold. Definitely bring a hoodie. That way you don't have to buy them.
Well, what else do I need? You know.
Yeah. No. I mean, that's all I ever do is wear a hoodie. I have a winter coat here, but I've only needed it once.
Right.
Okay, so Magic Kingdom news. There's a major refurbishment coming to Big Thunder Mountain Railroad this spring.
Okay.
Yeah, it's going to be closed for about 4 months. It's going to be closed on April 4th and reopened to guests on July the 16th. I'm wondering, Peter Mandel, if this is them adding the fire element to it.
Has to be.
But you know what? Like, when they revamped that and added the fire to it, I remember a cast member telling me that it was down for, like, almost a year.
Well,
out in California.
Yeah, but remember, they'd also probably never done it before.
Right. And, folks, what we're talking about is Big Thunder Mountain Railroad in Disneyland has fire in it now after a larger. But you know what?
It's
cool. They did a big refurbishment on Big Thunder in Orlando back in 2012, and then they've done shorter refurbishments since then. So maybe they're just like doing the refurbishment little by little, and now they just need a 4-month period to put the fire in. I don't know. It's not confirmed. Right. The fire is only speculation at this point. I'm hoping for it. I did Big Thunder during Wishes the other day.
And?
Really, really fun. It's wonderful. I liked it a lot.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. It's always fun to walk around Fantasyland and Liberty Square during Wishes because you can hear all the sprinklers going off because they went down the roofs of all the buildings.
Yep, yep.
While the fireworks are going off. All right, so Epcot news. This Epcot character spot continues to grow in the former Interventions West.
Tell me about that.
Well, we have Baymax right now. They're building on some more, and it's rumored that Joy and Sadness from Inside Out will be there.
Oh, that'd be cool.
It's cool because Joy and Sadness were in studios, but they were there for a very, very brief amount of time.
Right.
Because they closed, you know, I mean, they closed the Animation Courtyard. I would say it had to have been like not even a month after Inside Out came out. So
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, it's not. So this is not confirmed yet by Disney, but Joy and Sadness are heavily rumored to be in Epcot. So, I mean, like, you know, if they just take all that Interventions West and just like turn it into like one character spot after another where we can get more character experiences in Future World, I would love that.
Oh my gosh, if I could get a you know, fast pass or even wait on the line itself and then meet, you know, a string of characters in a row, bang bang bang.
And I'm wondering if it's going to be like that, if it's going to be like the other Epcot character spot where it's like you meet Baymax and then you go meet Joy and Sadness.
I would love that.
I would too.
That'd be great.
I would also like them to start like the Chase character spot there in Epcot. It's always some combination of Mickey, Pluto, Goofy, and Minnie. And I can get those in the character spot across the way. I would love for that to be rare characters. Like you go in there and it's like, oh, Brer Fox, you know, or something like I want, that's what I want. But it's not about what I want, Peter Mandel. So
we get that.
DAC news, Disney's Animal Kingdom. The snack kiosks of Animal Kingdom have been updated with new colors and new names and new menu items.
Earth tones have replaced the former pastel colors that they had.
Okay.
And there are new, so the, and all of them have been, most of them have been renamed, and there are new menu items for a lot of them. So, yeah, I said pastel, and that reminded me of Pascal. Did you know, and do your kids know, that by the Rapunzel bathrooms, there are, I think, 16 hidden Pascals?
Wow, no. I'm going to have to look for that. That's pretty cool. There's, you know, I've never even been in those bathrooms.
Oh, dude, you got to go in those bathrooms. Like, that's like the place to go in Magic Kingdom.
Like, literally.
Yeah, like yeah, and that's what I meant it that way.
Right.
No, I mean, you've got to do two in those bathrooms because, like, they're nice, they're new. They're actually well-themed. Like, in the men's room, they have, like, frying pans on the wall. And like all like the wanted posters of all like the of like Flynn and all the other criminals and whatnot. Those were, and then in the ladies' room, I'm told.
good qualifying there.
Yes, it's all like Rapunzel's artwork on the wall.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
What she draws in the. I have asked. I remember I asked a friend to go in there, and take pictures, but she said no. So.
Oh.
I was like, why? It's a ladies' room. It's not like there are urinals in there. Like, there's stalls. Everyone's got their privacy. Just take a picture of the wall. Like, I'm dying to see the inside of that bathroom.
And this is why you are going through the metal detector next time.
But yeah, so 16 hidden Pascals, they are not easy to find. I only was able to find the one.
Okay.
So... Because, you know, the thing is, they're not, like, bright green. They're, obviously, Pascal, he's a chameleon. It's blended in with his surroundings.
Right.
So, the one that I found, though, is the little bridge that leads over to the restrooms over there. If you look over that bridge towards, like, where the bathrooms are, he's on a rock down there.
I'm going to look for him.
No, you should. And let the kids know, too. They probably go nuts looking for him.
And yeah, I kids like stuff like that.
I refuse to look online to find where he is.
Oh, yeah, that's no fun.
I want to just find him. Disney's Hollywood Studios news, sponsored by thecookandwookie.com for all your recipe needs, Disney and non. Thecookandwookie.com is always cooking up some special delicacies that will delight your next dinner party. The Zootopia preview for the new Disney movie Zootopia is now in Disney's Hollywood Studios, but you're not going to like where it is.
Where is it?
One Man's Dream.
Oh, sad.
Now, but I'm not sure if it's like at the end of the Walt movie or if it's replacing the Walt movie.
I thought they had some Zootopia thing that was at Conservation Station.
No, the Zootopia thing is, it's at One Man's Dream right now.
Okay.
So, I have to go and check it out. I don't, like I said, I don't know if the Walt movie plays and then that plays, or if it just replaces the Walt movie for now.
Right, right.
I really hope it didn't replace the Walt movie.
I get that.
Yeah. Construction walls are now up in Disney's Hollywood Studios. Not all of them, but some. So the back area of the Streets of America, where the former Phineas and Ferb and Cars and the Joffrey's Coffee kiosk and the Premier Theater are all...
I guess I'm not going to see the pawn shop.
No, you'll see it.
Oh, I can?
Yeah, that part's not walled off. It's like the back area, like where Phineas and Ferb were.
Oh, okay, good. Ethan will be thrilled.
Yeah, no, that whole area is walled off. You can still go on the Streets of America up to, I think, like April 2nd, so you're fine.
Nice.
Also, Pizza Planet is walled up. all the way down to It's a Wonderful Shop. If they're putting a wall over that and not just closing the door and like that's got to be some substantial stuff going on there.
Right.
I caught a sneak peek at the speaking of construction. I caught a sneak peek at what the Rivers of Light experience looks like right now under construction.
Okay.
It looks like the almost kind of looks like the Fantasmic seating. Like, they've added all that seating in there. It's like the size of the Fantasmic one.
Right.
And you can definitely see... remember I told you can only see the floating island from the parking lot?
Right.
You can see it from the park, too. Right when you walk in the gates, just kind of be looking off to your left, and eventually you will see the floating island.
Hmm. Okay. I can't wait to see that.
There's lots of cranes and construction there, so it's easy to spot. I've got to tell you, man, this Avatar thing, I feel like it could very possibly be really awesome.
Oh, I have no doubt that it won't be. Yeah.
That it won't be?
That it will be?
That it will be.
That it won't be soon? No, yeah, it will be. Oh, I think it's going to be great.
I mean, listen, do I dislike Avatar? Yeah, but, like, just the way they're describing it, I got to say, like, it sounds pretty cool, and it hurts me almost to say it. Because despite what people may think, we do disagree with Disney occasionally.
Well, yeah. I actually found my Avatar 3D DVD at home this weekend and contemplated opening it because I'm excited about that.
Right.
I mean, I didn't.
No, of course not. Why would you? It's a terrible movie. But
I thought that.
And did you hear, like, so Disney moved Episode 8, Star Wars,
yeah,
to December, and then all of a sudden Avatar abandoned ship and was like, oh, no, we're not coming out in Christmas, you know, because they know that they would be destroyed.
Yeah.
2017. So now it means Avatar will probably be sometime in 2018, which puts it 9 years after the original. That was 2009.
Yep.
So do you think that movie has any hope of, like, being successful, the second
one? Sure.
9 years later, you really think?
Yeah, why not?
All right, whatever you say.
I mean, it's not like there's not enough, you know, room in pop culture for another movie to be successful.
Right.
Other than a Marvel, you know, / Disney movie. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, placing it properly in release date.
Of course. All right. So, you ready to take a commercial break?
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
All Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. Do you want to embrace the inner gourmet in your life? Do you tire of a life of hot dogs, ramen noodles, and Pop-Tarts? Do you long to wow your loved ones with homemade delicious meals and chuck that kid cuisine in the trash? Well, good thing we've got thecookandwookie.com. The Cook and Wookie is a food and recipe blog designed to walk you through recipes that will dazzle your dinner table. Tim Elbing is our Wookie host, and he will take you on a culinary journey that will make you and all of your dinner guests thankful at your next Life Day feast. So let the Wookie win your loyalty, folks, and head over to thecookandwookie.com. That's thecookinwookie.com. Fire up your oven, and may the forks be with you.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Folks, there's a lot of animal lovers that listen to this show, and animal lovers can enjoy all sorts of different kinds of attractions featuring animals in the Orlando area. Obviously, on this show, the one we talk about the most is Disney's Animal Kingdom, which we refer to affectionately as DAC. But there is another animal-themed park out here in the Orlando area, a park that has been around for a very, very long time, a park that predates Universal Studios. That park, of course, is SeaWorld Orlando, where you can get up close and personal with a lot of different marine life, enjoy shows, thrill rides, different kinds of attractions and whatnot. So that begs the question, who does animal-themed attractions better, Disney or SeaWorld? Well, this past weekend, I went to both. I went to SeaWorld on Saturday, and then I went to Animal Kingdom on Sunday, and I contrasted and compared a few things, and that's why this week, for our e-ticket attraction of the week, Pete and I are comparing SeaWorld to Disney's Animal Kingdom. So, never been to SeaWorld, have you?
No, but I'm excited about this. I like anything that's kind of like, that we can talk about that's new for me, and I can right. kind of, you know, hear new things, it's find so, out how yeah, you got
it's,
attacked.
Well, I didn't get attacked by any animals in SeaWorld, so point SeaWorld okay. right away. Nothing punched
me. Put a check in that column.
No dolphins were like, hey, psh! And our friends around the world did sound off on this one, Pete. So I will be reading their reactions as well. So, I mean, I figure there's a few things to really talk about, and that is, you know, why don't I just go through, like, my experiences at SeaWorld over the past two weeks? Because I've gone this Saturday, and I went the Saturday before also. So I'll go through a bit about SeaWorld, and then we can just kind of compare it to Animal Kingdom as we go along. I also want to touch on the thrill rides. I want to touch on the animal experiences and attractions, and I want to touch on conservation efforts. Like, which park does it better?
Hey, let me stop you before all of that.
Okay.
You ever eat at SeaWorld?
Have I eaten at SeaWorld? Did I eat at SeaWorld? No, I didn't.
No, okay.
Not at all, actually.
I was just curious.
You know, I sat down in the... We'll get there. Like, I sat down in this lounge, like, with the intention of possibly ordering some food and then decided not to. Just because I wasn't sure what was in it.
Had you forgotten the K-tainer?
No, I didn't bring it back to SeaWorld. Again, no added sugar, and it's kind of difficult to find things in a theme park. Because, like, you'd even think, like, oh, well, ribs. Ribs are meat, but ribs have barbecue sauce on them.
Yeah, barbecue sauce, a lot of sugar.
Yeah, so, you know, I got to watch out for that. So SeaWorld, it's first. I mean, obviously, it's much smaller than Disney World. It's one park. So it's smaller than Universal too. It is the smallest of the big the trifecta, if you will. You walk in, and it looks like just like a quaint little harbor town when you walk in. I really liked the atmosphere there. It doesn't like smack you in the face with like magic like Disney does,
right?
Or even like Universal does. It's just kind of very quaint when you walk in. The first thing that struck me about SeaWorld is their maps are not trifolds.
Okay.
Their maps are a full-blown map. Like, one sheet of paper map.
Okay.
Which I'm like, this is a little too big.
Well, isn't that the way the Disney ones used to be?
Yeah, but the Disney stopped doing that when they realized trifolds were a better way to go.
Right.
But now here's one cool thing that they do have. So, like, let's say I walk in and I have the SeaWorld app. And I open up the SeaWorld app and I set it to, I tell them I want to go to Dolphin Cove, but I don't know where Dolphin Cove is. The SeaWorld app pinpoints my location and GPSs me to Dolphin Cove.
Okay.
Which I like. I don't know if my Disney experience does that because I've never used it for that because I know where everything is already.
Right.
But like
same thing.
You know, SeaWorld, I hadn't been to SeaWorld since I was 2 years old in 1987 when I was being pushed around in a dolphin-shaped stroller. So, all right, so I mentioned Dolphin Cove. That was the first thing I wanted to walk to. So, immediately head over to Dolphin Cove because I saw all these amazing videos on YouTube of people walking up and petting dolphins, and you could buy food and, like, feed them fish, and they come up to you, and they splash, and they're, like, you know, just really cool, friendly, happy dolphins. I was like, I'm going to do this. This looks awesome. So it was, like, the whole reason why I decided to even get the annual pass.
Right.
So I go over there. I have to pass the Stingray Touch Tank, or as I like to call it, the Mewling Pool of Germs and Disgusting Smells. I walked past there, and the smell almost knocked me off my feet. Like, it was gross. Gross, gross, gross. So I walk past the Stingray Stink Tank, and I get over to where it's Dolphin Cove. It's a really nice area, very open, and the dolphins are just swimming around, happy as clam, you know, popping their heads up over the thing. And so I go to walk over to where, like, you can go, like, where I see trainers, like, feeding them. But I see a fence. I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird. So I walk around. It's fenced in. It's, like, completely fenced in. And I'm like, something's not right here. Because also nobody's feeding the dolphins. The trainers are feeding them. So I go over to the information booth. How do you get in there? Oh, you have to make a reservation, and there's an additional cost for it. I'm like, excuse me? Like, this was always just one of your attractions. Like, this was just always just out there. And I was like, and can you feed them? They're like, oh, no, you can't feed them anymore. They stopped doing that last year. So right away, Pete, the one thing I wanted to do.
Yep.
Couldn't do it. I could if I gave them $15, but I was not giving them $15. That is what I pay for a month of being able to go there. I'm not giving them that again just so that I can go in there and watch a trainer feed a dolphin with the hope that I might be able to touch it. Now, if there's not a dolphin feeding experience going on, you can stand by this little tiny little corner area of the cove, and sometimes, if the dolphin's feeling froggy, they'll come over and be like, hey, what's going on? But that doesn't happen very often.
Right.
So now I'm mad. And now, like, but now, let's look at it from this perspective. You have an experience that you could do where you can come face-to-face with an animal and, you know, be right up there while it, like, does cool tricks and stuff like that. Animal Kingdom does not have anything like that.
That's true.
Like, you can't get, like, super up close and personal with an animal unless an owl punches you in the face.
All right, you can't get much more up close than that.
No, and for the record, I don't recommend an owl punching because it's creepy. But,
well, of all the animals there to punch you in the face, maybe that's the best one.
Owls have always creeped me out, dude. Like, owls, like...
Oh, owls are awesome. Don't start with that.
No, dude, owls are creepy looking. They made that movie that, like... Oh, what is that movie where, like, the owls were, like, fighting in a war or something like
that?
Yeah, like
Legends of the Guardians.
Legends of the Guardian. Dude, that...
Chicken loves that movie. No,
that looked creepy. That just looked creepy.
Stop.
They look at... Oh, they could turn their heads all the way around. No, no. No owls. I say no to you. So I walked around Dolphin Cove, and I found there's actually an area where you can go, where you can see them underwater. And
okay.
That was just like a normal part of it. So I went in there, and I was able to watch them. Like, there's so many dolphins in this pool. Whereas, like, if you go to the Seas Pavilion, I think they only have 3 or 4 dolphins in there. There were at least 10 dolphins in here. So they're swimming about, and they are, you know, coming up to the glass, and they're interacting with people through the glass. Like, these were very friendly dolphins. They also do a thing where, like, a trainer will be down there, and they'll hand out some toys to people, like rubber balls and stuff to throw around. Because right. they're like, you know, as you throw the toys, the dolphins will see it, and they like it. So they'll stop, and they'll watch you play. Which is, I thought that was cool.
Okay.
So, leave Dolphin Cove, and then walk around. And this is where, like, I get a little hazy, because I don't remember, like, where everything was. But I see, all right, brace yourself.
Okay.
I see a sign that says, shark encounter.
Okay. Perfect.
And I'm like,
Kevin,
you know what? I'm going to go to the shark encounter. I'm going to face my lifelong arch nemesis, the shark.
Right.
And I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to face this fear. So I go in. In the beginning, you walk through like a tank, like a tunnel tank, like you're in the aquarium, you walk through like a tunnel, and there's right. fish everywhere. No sharks here. You get through, and then they have like other like fish that can kill you, like poisonous fish, and like barracudas
right.
and stuff like that. Like basically all the things you don't want to be in the water with. And then you just kind of continue on, and then you get to the point where the sharks are. And this is another tube. You are in the aquarium with the sharks, and you are surrounded by a glass tube. Now, here's the thing they do that I really liked. You can't just walk through it. You step onto a people mover moving sidewalk, and you slowly work your way through it, which is good because everyone stands there. They know they're getting to the shark eventually. You're not elbowing and pushing and, you know, overcrowding.
Yeah, that sounds
it.
Good.
It was a good call by SeaWorld, and I liked that a lot. Now, again, Animal Kingdom. Is there anything that you can think of that really puts you right in the center of an animal's ecosystem like that, other than a tour?
I see what you're saying. I mean, safari pretty impressively puts you in the middle of a African safari, but
yes,
okay.
Yes, and we will get there. But like, this was like, they're swimming above you. They're swimming like, and listen, I was a little uncomfortable because there are sharks very, very close
right.
to me. And I took some video in there as well. I posted in our Facebook discussion group, which is facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse. So I got through the sharks, made it through, didn't get eaten, walked out. So I walk up and I see there's another like touch tank, and it's like shark feeding tank. And I'm like, okay, I draw the line here. Because
this is where you just put, as Kevin Kessler, you just put your hand in the water.
No, you just like throw, yeah, you throw Kevin Kessler into the water so sharks can finally have their ultimate victory and
right.
devour me. Because that's what sharks want.
You would have to like eat some added sugar at that point just so they can enjoy their meal and then jump in the water.
Oh, I would make sure they got fat because I would stuff myself with high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
Not to get preachy, but high fructose corn syrup was actually created by farmers to fatten
okay.
up their cattle.
Wrong show, buddy.
Okay. All right. Just pointing it out. We eat it in everything. Okay, so shark experience is done. Traumatic, whatever. They are building a shark themed roller coaster called the Mako. It's going to be the
right.
tallest, fastest roller coaster in Orlando.
I've seen pictures. I would never go on that.
It's like a standing coaster, I think, based
yeah.
on what I saw. So they have a really nice harbor area, and I walked across like there's this big long dock that takes you over by where Shamu Stadium is. The dock it's cool, but like. It's SeaWorld, so like I had this irrational fear that there was some like monstrosity in the water on the other side of the dock, because you know my fear that the ocean is full of monsters.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want to be there. You know, got across unmolested, so that was a good thing. Then I went to, like, there was a dolphin show that was going on. I didn't go to that. You can feed seals and sea lions.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, you can't, like, put your hand up to it. But, like, you can purchase a little, like, tray of, like, sardines and throw it to the seals and the sea lions. So if they can't catch, that, or if you don't throw very well, you're basically just teasing them.
Right.
But because they equate humans with food, when you walk up, like, to the edge, they will pop up on the rocks and, like, look at you. Like, when I walked up, actually, it was, like, it was one of those heart melting like awe moments, because I walk up and this seal like is like this chubby little like I think it was like a kid vert like a kid seal like a child. It just pops its head up out of the water and looks at me like, "Hey, buddy, got any fish?" Like it. Like, he didn't, like, get, but like, you have the other ones that, like, jump up on the rocks and they go, like, like, and they just want right. it.
This one actually talked.
No, this one talked a lot with his eyes. I got a nice picture of him. He was adorable.
Okay.
That was my seal impersonation, by the way. That's what they sounded like. So, Shamu Stadium. Now, this is the part of SeaWorld that gets the most press, but it also gets the most bashing, like the biggest amount of, like, flack. And honestly, I could see why. The show is pretty cool, the Killer Whale show. However, I always got the sense that these animals are a little too big to be in this area. Like, well, the pool is very deep, and they have them swimming around in it beforehand, so you can walk up semi near the glass and like take a picture or whatever. But I mean, like, it's a whale, dude. Like, it is a whale.
I know. You know, let me just say something. And I don't really have a stake in this or an opinion.
Right.
You know, that really. Yeah, I haven't done too much research. But I know when Disney wanted to build Animal Kingdom, the state of Florida, like, game reserve, they had to do a ton of stuff. And I just find it hard to believe that, like, you know, SeaWorld would be in our operation and they wouldn't be, you know.
But when you think about it,
with everything that's happened, you know?
I'm fairly sure animals like dolphins are extremely territorial. Like, they stay in, like, one area for the most part. Orca whales are meant to, like, traverse the earth. Like, they migrate, like, long ways together.
Right.
And to see them, like, the other thing is the fin, like, the dorsal fin. On the males, all of them are, like, flopped over to the side like Free Willy. And they say that in the wild, none of the dorsal fins do that. But every male orca whale in captivity, the dorsal fin flops over. And I don't know why that is. They also seem like they're a little too intelligent to, you know, like, you could hear them talking to each other. Not like, hey, man, ready to do this show? Yeah, let's kick some fin. But, like, they're like... You can hear them, like, whale chatting to each other. Luckily, I speak whale. Now, you know how... We've talked a little bit about how I'm afraid of sharks, right?
I've heard that.
It's come up once or twice. You heard it through the grapevine.
Right.
I am out of my mind, like, jump out of my skin terrified of killer whales.
Okay.
And all I could imagine was being in that tank... And seeing them, like, swim out that doorway, oh, like, it really bugged the bejeez out of me. My fears notwithstanding. The show was really cool. It's called One Ocean. And the whales, like, they swim around and they splash the crowd, which on the day where it was 30 degrees didn't go over very well with people. But I'm like, you're sitting in the splash zone. What do you think is going to happen?
Right.
I was sitting, like, the splash zone ends, and then they start the stadium seating going up further. So I'm in the first row of the stadium seating. So I kind of felt like I was in a Foghorn Leghorn cartoon, where he's got, like, the rope limit for the dog. Because the water would all, like, when the whale would splash, the water would, like, just miss me.
Okay.
Which was good, because it was freezing in there. So, I mean, elephant in the room, you got to talk about the Blackfish documentary, because that's kind of what's destroying SeaWorld right now.
Right.
But... You also have to look at it in terms of it is a documentary, and while it tells a powerful story, it also, at the same time, has an agenda, as all documentaries do. So much so that SeaWorld actually has a section on its website to address Blackfish.
Right.
Because of Blackfish, they've done away with the orca whale shows in San Diego.
Right. I've heard that.
I'm wondering if that's ever going to happen in Orlando, because when you look at the killer whale show, I mean, I don't want to say that I feel like the show is animal cruelty, because I don't. Like, you can see the way that the trainers interact with them. They genuinely care about these animals. It's just, like, in Animal Kingdom, they don't do lion shows. They don't do tiger shows. They kind of just let them be lions and tigers, but in a way that we can see them. You know, I'm sure that trainers aren't petting lions on the safari. Lions aren't balancing balls on their nose for our entertainment.
Right.
To that point, I'm kind of like, well, I feel like I'd be cooler with it if they just turned the Shamu Stadium into just a massive, massive giant, like, habitat. And
I
just kind of let people watch them swim around. The dolphins seem like they enjoy it, but then again, that's just because dolphins seem like they enjoy everything. I don't know, man. Like, I'm sitting there literally, like, torn. Like, I don't know how to feel about this thing. What do you think?
I've never been, no horse
in this race, but...
Yeah, I've never been there, so I can't really say. And, you know, I'm a fairly optimistic person, so I kind of hope there's no, you know, wrongdoing, let's say.
Right.
I see what you're saying. I mean, how many times, you know, have you gone on that safari and not seen the lion? Because he's sleeping and you just can't see it. And guess what? That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So sorry.
They don't force the lion to parade himself out there for you.
Right.
They make it, apparently now, like, it's more, you see the lion more now because what they've done is they actually installed, like, an air conditioning vent, like, up on that, like, Pride Rock thing.
Right.
So he likes to sit there because it's cooler. But that's different. That's not like they give the lion a command, he does, like, a bow for you, and then they throw meat. Like, it's like,
right,
we have made this a more pleasurable experience for you to be here.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying.
When it was 30 degrees out and I was on the safari first thing in the morning, we didn't see those lions.
Right, of course not.
We did not see those lions. But now, okay, this is another elephant in the room. Not an actual elephant. More of a whale in the room. If Disney did a lion show and one of those lions attacked a trainer and basically ate a trainer...
Right.
Disney would not be doing the lion shows anymore.
I would assume yes.
Trainers have died at SeaWorld doing these orca whale shows or been horribly injured. One of them was, you know, why still do them?
I know, I agree with you.
That always sticks in the back of my mind. Like, it's actually funny, the trainers are not allowed in the water with them anymore. Because it used to be like the trainers would dive in the water and the whale would like shoot them up in the air and they'd dive back in and they'd like, you know, play around with the whales and whatnot. Now the trainers literally just kind of like, they stand on the edge of the pool while the music plays and they just kind of step touch and clap to the music and then throw the whale fish. I mean, I know this is like a touchy subject, but like I mean, if you watch the Blackfish documentary, they go into a lot more detail on the trainer that was killed in the whale tank, a lot more than I'm going to here.
Right.
Also, they say a lot of things in that documentary about how, like, the female whales, like, because whales, much like elephants, whales are a matriarchal society. I guess the females kind of gang up on the males sometimes, and they'll, like, rake them with their teeth or, like, hit them with their tail. I thought I saw one of the whales hit one of the other ones with the tail while I was there.
Okay.
But it might have been, like, a trick of the eye, because I was able to see them, like, over the water and, like, through the glass, so it might have been a little off. But I thought I saw it, but I can't 100% be sure that I saw that.
Right.
So again, like, I loved everything at SeaWorld. It's just, for some reason, the orca show just and I don't know if it's because I saw the documentary and it had an effect on me or whatnot, but the orca show just kind of had a profound effect on me.
Okay.
I mean, there's a seal show. There's, like, a beluga whale thing going on there. They have manatees. They have a lot of really cool stuff. And I feel like if you go with the dolphin as the symbol of your park, I feel like more people would get behind that. You know?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like, why does it have to be the killer whale? Why can't it be a dolphin? Who, like, everyone's like, oh, they're dolphins. They're so cute.
Right, but I know. Does that make it any better, though? You know?
Well, the dolphins also have never eaten anyone.
Right.
But yeah, like, you know, I get you. Now, the other thing is, like, a lot of the animals in Disney, like, if you look at the dolphins or the manatees that are in, like, the seas, for instance, a lot of them are rescues that are, like, you know, the manatee's got, like, the chopped up tail and whatnot. Like, it always makes me really sad to see. but, I don't know, I just feel like, and I feel like in Animal Kingdom, there is more emphasis on conservation.
I get that. You know, it's funny. Whenever we go to the aquarium in Baltimore a lot, and there is a turtle there who is missing an entire arm. And I can remember taking Ethan, and he was like, that's so sad. And I'm like, no, that's not sad. Like, that animal in the wild probably would not be able to make it.
No.
It's wonderful that there are facilities like this with, you know, people who like take care of these animals and they can bring in, this animal has just an awesome life here, you know? So I almost like seeing stuff like that,
right,
knowing that they're saving these animals.
You know, I mean, that's, it's a slippery slope. I mean, it really, like, so compare, I, the only thing you can really compare the whale shows to would be Flights of Wonder.
Okay.
Because that is the only live animal show that they have in Animal Kingdom. I mean, they've got, like, the other bird show with, like, the parrots and stuff, but it's not, like, you know, nearly as intricate. But again, SeaWorld is a lot of animals performing for your entertainment, whereas Animal Kingdom is we get to observe animals in their habitat being animals.
Right.
And I think that is kind of why, like, SeaWorld feels like a zoo. It feels like an aquarium. Animal Kingdom feels like a nature preserve, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get that. And I agree with that.
And, like, you know, if you're going into Shamu Stadium, you're going to see the whale jump. You're going to see them flip. You're going to see them bow. You're going to see them splash. If you go onto that safari, you don't know that you're seeing an elephant. You don't know that you're seeing a lion.
Right.
We didn't see any rhinos on the when I went the other day. They were talking about them, but, like, we didn't see any of them. The black rhino. You know, we barely saw the zebras. They were, like, hiding out. I did get the best view I ever got of one of the cheetahs, actually.
Okay.
He was actually, like, walking around. Do you know that a group of flamingos are called a flamboyants?
No.
Yeah, no, that's legit.
Oh, I like that.
That was one of the little factoids they give you on the safari. A group of flamingos are a flamboyants, and a group of giraffe are called a tower.
Oh, that's cool.
A tower of giraffe.
Which makes sense, I guess. I've just never heard that.
Yeah, I love that. So, I mean, obviously, I know you vote Animal Kingdom over SeaWorld.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm a Disney guy.
Right,
you know?
Of course. I don't mean to bash SeaWorld. It's just the orca whale thing is the one thing that I have a hard time getting over. And you know what? I'm sure they treat their orca whales very, very well. My thing is this an environment that is beneficial to an orca whale's life? That's my thing. It's like, I don't want, like, letters and emails being like, well, you know, they don't mistreat them and there was this misinformation in the documentary. I get that. My personal preference, seeing them in such a small confined area, that is where I start to get a little weirded.
See, I honestly, I just don't think I'm qualified to have an opinion on, you know, whether they are, you know, in a situation that they shouldn't be.
And I'll be the first to say that I'm talking about things that I don't know about. I'm just giving my opinion of what I could see. And like things I've heard from like things I've watched and heard from people that worked there.
No, I get it.
But then like, okay, so I went to Rafiki's Planet Watch for the first time ever.
Okay.
That was so cool. You get a nice little backstage view of like the back of the safari,
which I liked.
I love that. You get to see the veterinary clinic. It was so open door where it was just like, hey, this is how we care for these animals, and you know, this is how we help preserve them in the wild. And they had a little petting zoo out there, which I didn't go into because.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a couple of years. I mean, I don't know if Abby has ever been out there. So I definitely want to make a point of doing that this time.
Yeah, I think you definitely should. It doesn't take very long to go do. Though, I will say, there's this thing called Songs of the Rainforest.
Okay.
It's literally like a booth. Like, you go into this door, and it's like a little booth with, like, couches in it.
Yeah, I kind of remember it.
And there's headphones, and, like, you push a button, and all the lights go out, and you hear, like, the sounds of the rainforest. And and you hear Grandmother Willow from Pocahontas talking about it, to which I'm like, why are you here, Grandmother Willow? Like, you're not in the rainforest. You're in the American forest.
Well, she represents nature.
Yeah, but like that's not where she was. Like, how does she know about the rainforest?
You know, maybe she's like an ant. She actually like walks all over the place.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, just very slowly.
Yeah, she's like Treebeard's grandmother.
Yep.
She's that old. Lord of the Rings reference for you, Mousers.
Right now, you don't get a lot of those.
Thrill rides. So, how do I put, like, Manta looks really cool at SeaWorld. I haven't gone on it because it was a little too cold for me to, like, be on a high, like, speed roller coaster.
Right.
But it reminds me of Superman's Ultimate Flight.
Okay.
Because you're, like, you're parallel to the ground. Like, you're flying. That's at Six Flags in New Jersey. Six Flags Great Adventure. They have, like, they have a log flume experience called Atlantis, but that was closed down. Here's the other thing that I did not like. All I wanted to do, Peter Mandel, all I wanted to do was see a penguin.
Love penguins.
I enjoy penguins. They're excellent. So they have a whole Antarctica-themed land that is, like, built around penguins. So I'm like, cool, I'm popping here, I'm going to see me a penguin, I'm going to take a picture of the penguin, and then I'm going to leave. No, that's not how it works. To see the penguins, you have to go through this elaborate penguin attraction ride, which always is a massive line.
But that sounds cool. Who wouldn't want to go on a penguin ride?
They don't, I mean, like, it's one of those things where you have to pay for Fast Pass. It's always got, like, near an hour-long wait. So I go up there, and I see it's, like, 15 minutes. And I'm like, oh, cool. I'll duck in and see the penguins. So I get in the line. It's no 15-minute wait. This was at least 45 to 50 minutes.
Okay.
I'm in line. There are a group of children directly behind me who are reenacting Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon together in a vicious martial arts duel that continuously causes them to crash into me. To which I continuously look back at the parents to be like, maybe it's time to say something. And they didn't for an hour. No lie, these kids crashed into me 20 to 30 times.
Well, that's awesome.
Would you ever, like, as a parent, I mean, obviously, you know, our rule on 2 Minute Mouse, we don't tell people how to parent their kids.
Right.
But, like, if your kids were doing that, what would you have done?
If they were, I would let them keep hitting you.
Not me. It's some random stranger.
Oh, no, of course not.
Yeah. Yeah. So right away, like, so I'm already hot now because of that. Get into the attraction after 45 minutes of waiting to 50 minutes of waiting. We get in and instead we walk in and I'm like, okay, well, where's the penguin? There's no penguin in there yet. You get a video about penguins. Like, this is Puck. Puck is a computer generated image of a penguin. We're going to learn about Puck. And I'm like, I don't care about Puck. I just want to see a penguin. So then you go into another room with another line that you have to wait in and they're like, to learn more about Puck and then to get on your ride vehicle. The ride system is something I've honestly never seen before. It's very original, I will say that. You get, like, this round vehicle, and it, like, just... All it really does, though, is, like, spin you around. It's supposed to be, like, you are a penguin, and this is, like, what the penguin sees and does.
Okay.
Which was kind of cool, but, like, I'm like, I waited a really, really long time for this. All I want to do is see a penguin. I can smell the penguins. When you get into the ride vehicle, you clearly know penguins are near, because all you can smell is fish and penguin dung. So now, like, that's going on, and then basically they spin you around, you get off the ride, and there are the penguins.
Okay.
Finally. After well over an hour and 20 minutes, I finally get to see a penguin. At that point, I was just like, hey, penguins, click, and I left.
Okay.
I was fiercely annoyed. So I
could see how you'd be disgruntled.
I asked the SeaWorld team member, I said, is there a way to see these penguins without going through all of that? And she's like, well, you don't have to ride the ride, but you do have to go through all of that. And I'm like, all right. But then she told me why, and I understood a little bit more.
Okay.
The penguins have to be in a Arctic setting. So they keep it Arctic levels of temperature in there for them. If it was just like a door that you can open up to walk in and be like, hey, penguins, that wouldn't work because, like, you'd be letting in climate.
Right.
So you have to go through this whole thing. But, good Lord, if you just want to see the penguin and not ride the ride, there should be a faster option for you.
And who wouldn't want to ride the ride?
Me, ever again. I didn't like it. It spun around too much.
Okay.
So there you have that. So Animal Kingdom, what do we got? We've got Expedition Everest. Everyone loves that. We've got Cali River Rapids. We've got the safari. We've got Dinosaur, which I just did again, and I love Dinosaur.
Me too.
Oh, isn't that right? So, even though the most of it is in pitch blackness, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it as you walk through, and it's like Raptor, Pterodactyl. Yeah, I'm like, oh, I'm learning something while being entertained.
Yeah, they're all trying to kill me, but I'm learning something.
Carnotaurus. Oh, man, that Carnotaurus at the end, though, when he, like, comes out over... Oh, I love it. Again, they don't have, like, ride experiences like that at SeaWorld. They're all just very, like, they're theme park rides. They're not, like, experiences.
All right.
What's your favorite thing? Is Dinosaur your favorite thing, or is the Safari your favorite thing?
It's got to be Safari, but, I mean, I love Dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
I love dinosaurs. Who doesn't? You know what I mean? What boy doesn't love dinosaurs?
Right. Now, what would be your preferred, like, show to see? A dolphin show or a orca or a killer whale show or a seal show or the shows in Animal Kingdom, which is Festival of the Lion King or Finding Nemo the Musical, like shows that are people teaching about animals?
That's a great question because I've never done Festival of the Lion King, although I'll be able to speak to that better in a week.
Yeah, I mean, I've been meaning to do that too because I've heard that it's the highest rated show on property.
Well, listen. Ethan is all about The Lion King right now. His school play this year is The Lion King. He's Mufasa.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's very excited. So it's been Lion King 24/7 in my house. And he can't wait to go to Disney World to see all the Lion King stuff. And I'm like trying to break to him. I'm like, there's not a lot of Lion King stuff there.
I mean, there's that. And then there's like Circle of Life. And Rafiki's Planet Watch has got a lot of Rafiki in it. But
yeah, yeah. So Rob, we're going to do as much Lion King stuff as possible, which means Festival of the Lion King.
So is it like the junior version of like the Broadway show?
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
As Mufasa, does he get to sing He Lives in You?
He's not. It's so funny. They break it up into like parts. So he's Mufasa 1, which is nice because he has a lot of like, you know, big lines.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to do the song, which is perfect for him. So it's the optimum role for him.
So he's not like Mufasa in the clouds?
No, but I think at the end...
Does he do the Circle of Life speech?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Which is, you know, Ethan. I mean, Ethan had that memorized before the first practice.
Of course
he did.
He
was like ready to go. So yeah, he's really excited about that. So we're going to be doing anything Lion King that we can, including Festival of Lion King. And let me also say that, you know, Abby is like completely, I don't want to say anti-Lion King, but she just thinks it's very sad.
Well, it is very sad.
She's at that point. So I'm like, you know, we have one kid who can't get enough Lion King stuff. We've been listening to the Broadway soundtrack in the car every day. And then I have another one who doesn't want to hear any of it. And
you got
to
take him to see the Broadway show because that's an experience.
I know. We've been saying that forever. Heather and I have done it multiple times. We saw it in Vegas when it opened there. I just haven't.
I just went this past spring with my mother, my grandmother, and another person. And it was great. It was so great.
I know. I love it.
So the Abster doesn't like the Lion King so much.
She doesn't like things that she perceives as sad, a lot of Disney movies have some form of sadness in it.
They do. So. And, you know, you've got in Lion King, there's like, you know, you have the sadness, but then they try to pick you right back up with Hakuna Matata.
Right.
So you have the kids that will lose themselves in that, like I was, like Ethan is, but like you were. Right. And then you'll have Abby who will be like, no, stop singing about your feelings. No, stop.
Yeah.
That
no,
just happened.
It's hard for her to get past, you know, all the stuff before Hakuna Matata. So much so that
trauma.
She doesn't even want to go see Ethan in this play.
Oh, no.
It's crazy. It's out of control.
They on the Honest Trailer, like they do like parodies of all the songs.
Right.
And they're like, and then there's the song that makes you forget about the horrific death scene you just witnessed. And Simba's like, I went through trauma at a very young age. Okay, so conservation efforts. I feel like Disney does a lot to kind of hammer in their conservation. Like, you can make, but SeaWorld does too. So, like, I feel like they're kind of on equal footing as far as this goes.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's just, you know, and it was a different world back then, but there are videos of people in boats for SeaWorld in the early 80s, late 70s, capturing killer whales from the ocean.
Right.
Animal Kingdom was built in a different era, wherein it was, you know, like, I believe most of the animals in Animal Kingdom are born there, or they're rescues. And
right.
I think Animal Kingdom also does release a lot of animals back into the wild, too. Like ones that they were, you know, nursing back to health.
Right.
So, and there's just a lot about endangered species. I really like Animal Kingdom's message. I can't wait to see what Rivers of Light's going to be like.
I can't wait for that, too. I think it's going to be super fun.
You ready to hear what our friends around the world had to say about this topic?
Yeah.
Okay, so I posed the question to our friends around the world on our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2minutethemouse. How do you guys compare SeaWorld and Animal Kingdom? So Julie Hyland said, I haven't been to SeaWorld in probably 20 years or more, but from my memory of it, there's no comparison in terms of attractions or theming. They're like apples and oranges. The only similarity would be the emphasis on learning about animals. I much prefer Animal Kingdom. She says, I can't speak to the details of animal care or conservation. Samuel Grazer says, I want to know what Animal Kingdom does when it gets really cold, because I'm sure the African savanna animals aren't used to such cold temperatures. And Jamie Doris responds, when I went in December, we had a cast member on the Pangani Trail stop and chat with us for 30 minutes or more. She was awesome. We asked her a million questions and she had all the answers. One thing I learned is that virtually all the animals actually have indoor homes where they return when the park closes down each night. Presumably they stay in there on particularly cold days. Katie Nelson says, the experiences at SeaWorld is nowhere in comparison to the experiences at DAC. Just because when you go to DAC, you're at Disney World. I also enjoy SeaWorld just because of the different animal life that is offered compared to DAC. But all in all, I would much rather spend a day at DAC. For animal care, I don't know too much about either, but as far as conservation efforts, I do like the simple things Animal Kingdom does, such as using paper straws rather than plastic. That is a big thing that they do.
Yeah, I like that.
Like, they're really trying to protect the ecosystem there. Susie Scott says, I far prefer SeaWorld. As a former veterinarian assistant and current pet groomer, I make my living reading animals' body condition and language. The animals at SeaWorld, in my opinion, show great conditioning and benefit from all the interaction and mental challenges. The last time I was at DAC, I saw unhappy animals and poorly conditioned coats. For my dollar, it's SeaWorld all the way. Interesting.
I like that opinion.
I do, too. Julie Hyland also pops back in and says, we went on the night safari and a zookeeper toured us and answered all of our questions. It's my understanding that A, it doesn't get terribly cold that often, and B, the animals have barns and buildings where they can go. Cheryl Pavia says, I can only comment on my experience at Animal Kingdom versus SeaWorld, and there is no comparison. SeaWorld felt like a cheesy park, and Animal Kingdom is truly magical. Have you ever been right at opening when they play the music and fly the birds in? Goosebumps. Conservation efforts in animal care? I really don't know. I would think Disney knows what they're doing and has too much to lose if they mess up. SeaWorld has had their employees killed or severely injured by animals too many times. Tim Elbing Jr. from thecookandwookie.com says, I haven't been to SeaWorld in almost 30 years, and I haven't had the desire to return. That being said, I can only comment on what I see or perceive at DAC. I think Disney does a great job in animal care and guest experience. From the habitats to the veterinary care, from the night houses to the enrichment that the animals receive, it all seems top-notch. As far as conservation, I also think Disney does an awesome job from what we've seen in the parks to what goes on behind the scenes and out in the wild. We are members of the Disney Conservation Fund and are always contributing. DAC is one of the few places that I don't cringe when I see animals in exhibits. That is true. DAC is not cringeworthy at all.
I agree.
Adam Rose, our friend from the UK, says, SeaWorld claims to have rehabbed and released 26,000 animals back into the wild. So I think from that side of things, they do quite a lot. The animal welfare within the park, specifically the killer whales, is obviously the subject of intense debate. I'm uncomfortable with the size of the whale tank at SeaWorld. I think they should transition to a much larger aquarium and scrap the Shamu show in favor of just viewing the whales as they to do as they please, which is something they have pledged to do. Disney's Animal Kingdom is great. I'm not sure what the scale of their conservation efforts are, but I'm glad that they removed the ludicrous little red sequence from the safari. It's much better just being allowed to view the animals. SeaWorld can learn a lot from DAC by focusing on education of how it changes to our everyday lives, can promote conservation and habitat protection. There's too much of an entertainment focus at SeaWorld currently, which is kind of what I was saying.
Right.
Gigi Pistone says, experiences between the two are polar opposites. I was last at SeaWorld when they were revamping the whole park, so there was only one coaster, and more than half the other attractions were down. The ticket was free, so I didn't care, but if I had paid, I would have been highly disappointed. I will say I enjoyed eating dinner with Shamu. That was a great experience. They do have, like, a dine with Shamu thing. You're not, like, in the tank, obviously, but, like, you know, he swims around.
Okay. He comes to your table and stuff?
No. No, he doesn't. I'd be horrified if that happened. That was a great experience. DAC doesn't have an experience like that, but they make up for it in everything else they have. Megan DeFord says one word, Blackfish. It's two words, but, you know. Oh, no, it's one word in the on the title, I think. Amanda Welker says, I think conservation efforts at SeaWorld actually does more. Disney focuses on conservation in the park, and SeaWorld focuses on conservation worldwide. They are at every domestic oil spill, for example. That's true. But Julie Hyland says, I don't think that's actually true. It's called the Disney Worldwide Conservation Fund. In fact, every time you go on a tour, such as the Nighttime Safari, Disney donates money to their international fund. That is true. And when you buy like anything at DAC, like food or whatnot, like when I bought food at the Harambe Marketplace, right, there was the option to donate to the Disney Worldwide Conservation Fund. I did it, just so you know.
Good for you.
Yeah, no, protect the animals. I much prefer most animals to most people, so
I believe that.
Yeah, I tend to try to help them out when I can. All right, so that's what our friends around the world had to say.
Okay, some interesting stuff.
Is there any chance ever that you go to SeaWorld one day?
I don't know.
My advice to people, like, listen, if you are going to Disney for more than 5 days, go to Universal and go to SeaWorld. Go to SeaWorld for a morning. You can do everything you need to do in a morning. You can,
yeah, but now you're talking cost of ticket for a family of four.
True.
You know, for how much time.
If money's not an option, and
right,
like, you
well,
know,
all those roller coasters there, we're not going on them.
Right. I would say to people that are curious, go. Get there at 9 o'clock for opening. You could be done by 12 or 1.
Okay.
And then spend the rest of your day in a Disney park. Or even Universal. It's not like there's so much to do. Catch a show. Go to Dolphin Cove. Go on a few rides. Do the penguin thing. Put aside about 2 hours for that. But other than that, I mean, you're in and out pretty quickly.
I definitely wouldn't. I wouldn't rule it out.
Okay.
My kids love animals. What kid doesn't, you know?
Right. I mean, I guess that's as good as we're going to get from you, huh?
I who knows when I'm going to have a trip where I have a free day where I feel like I can roll over to SeaWorld.
Right. And you know what? To be perfectly 110% honest with you, Peter Mandel, I don't think if I didn't live here,
right,
I would never have gone.
No, I know you wouldn't have.
Okay. So anything else you want to add this week?
No, I was pretty, you know, informative and not informative at the same time. I like people's opinions.
Yeah, I do too. All right, well, that's going to do it for 2 Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, I like when we can go outside the Disney bubble a little bit sometimes.
Yeah,
and focus,
okay,
on things that are around it, because there is so much Orlando outside of Walt Disney World. I mean, not so much Orlando that I actually care about, but there is some Orlando. So, you know, I think we did SeaWorld a bit of, you know, a service today by talking about it and recommending it, even though there are some issues. So, folks, please give our social media pages some love. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/2menandthemouse, and we're on Twitter at 2menandthemouse. You can also follow the White Dragon Podcast Network at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network and on Twitter at White Dragon PN. You can also join in the conversation along with all of us in our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/group/2menandthemouse. If you want your questions answered on the show, please send an email to questions@2menandthemouse.com. And if you like the show, please do us the honor of sharing it. Put it on your Facebook wall, tweet it out, talk it up, give it a rating and review in iTunes. Every little bit helps us out tremendously, and it's only through your kind words and praise that this show will continue to grow and prosper. If you love our good friend Peter Mandel and his comic book store Rogue Comics over here in Cranford, New Jersey, please check him out. You can find Pete at 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016, or head over to roguecomics.com where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney park throughout the known universe, or Aulani out in Hawaii, please look up our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who you can always find on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him dave@magicaltravel.com. And of course, folks, if you are looking for that special meal to dazzle your friends and family members, please head on over to thecookandwookie.com, Tim Elbing's blog, where he is always cooking up something super special and out of this world. That is thecookinwookie.com, thecookandwookie.com. And if you are looking for that special piece of Disney merchandise, head on, that you can only find in the parks, head on over to wishesanddreamsshopping.com. They will send you merchandise from the Disney parks directly to your front door. That is wishesanddreamsshopping.com. Thank you so much for joining us again, folks, this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
No, I had a good time. I would say I can't wait for next week, but I literally can't wait for next week.
Right, because you're going to be here.
Yep.
Which is funny, because I'll be seeing you. You'll be closer to me than you've been in 6 months.
That's
very
true.
But we won't actually have you for the show. I'll have a suitable replacement, don't worry. All right, folks, keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.